But it is time to move on to our grand final preview. Pete, you've enabled it, the Devil versus the Deep Blue Sea.
I have. I mentioned at the end of the game the other night that the, just for the record, the two clubs are most responsible for bringing the game into disrepute in regards to 2000s.
Yeah.
Grand final. But of course, they're both clean now, so that's all good.
Well, Melbourne in particular, the talk has been that they're desperate to win because the fact that those premierships were taken off them, the players, I guess their attitude is, well, we weren't, no, we didn't know, we're the ones that actually won, and it shouldn't have been taken off us. And this is an opportunity for some of those players anyway, the ones that are still with the club, to get some redemption. Look, let's read through the two teams now. We'll start with the Canterbury Bulldogs at fullback, Ben Barber. The wingers, Sam Perrott, Jonathan Wright, Josh Morrison, Christian Inu in the centres. Josh Reynolds, 5'8". Chris Keating is the halfback. Aidan Tolman, very impressive Aidan Tolman, and Sam Cassiano, the props, Michael Ennis, hooker and captain. Frank Pritchard, Josh Jackson, the back rowers, Greg Eastwood in at lock. James Graham, Dale Finucane, Corey Payne, David Stagg and Dean Halitau named in a five-man bench. While the Storm, they've got Billy Slater at fullback, Sisa Waka and Justin O'Neill, the wingers, Dane Nielsen, Will Chambers in the centres, Gareth Widdop, 5'8", Cooper Cronk, halfback, Jesse Bromwich and Brian Norrie are the props, Cameron Smith, hooker and captain, Sikamanu, Ryan Hoffman, the second rowers, Todd Lowry, locks the scrum, Ryan Hinchcliffe, Kevin Proctor, Jamin Lowe, Richie Faioso, Rory Kostiarsson, Marv Fanoa, Sisoasa Vava and Anthony Quinn on a massive 8-man bench. I don't know what Bellamy's doing there, but anyway. And referees Tony Archer and Ben Cummins have got the role. Shane Hayne is actually going to move up into the booth as the video referee with Chris Ward. Overall, the teams have played 29 times. The Bulldogs have won 15 and the Storm 14, so it's pretty close. And look, the biggest wins, the Bulldogs had a 50-4 win back in 2003, while the Storm won 46-0 in 2008. But in most recently, they played twice this year. Melbourne beat Canterbury 12-6 in round 7, while up in Mackay in Queensland, Canterbury took their home game up there. They won 20-4, the Bulldogs. That was in round 16. At ANZ Stadium, the Bulldogs have played 144 times, 183, drawn 2, lost 59. While the Storm have had 12 games, 1-9, lost 3. The three teams have played head-to-head at ANZ 3 times. The Storm have won all 3 times. So, with that in mind, Pete, who do you think is going to win and why?
Okay, I've backed Melbourne pretty much all year as the team to beat. I'm really hoping this is going to be a close game, a really high-quality game, because we've been missing a bit of that in this final series, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Melbourne, I think, will just have the edge. I think they've just got a little bit too much class. I'm expecting them to hold Canterbury in the forwards. I think Canterbury have the slightly more impressive forward pack. But I think the big three for mine, Cooper Cronk, Cameron Smith and Billy Slater, will just show a little bit too much class for the Bulldogs. I think the Bulldogs have been it for a long, long way. But I think Melbourne will, in traditional Melbourne style, will basically strangle the life out of Canterbury. I think that that South Sydney may have just showed a bit of the way to beat Canterbury the other night. They did lead 8-4 before Reynolds went off. Reynolds had a pinpoint kicking game, and there is a halfback in the competition that can do that, and that is Cooper Cronk. Also, Cameron Smith's close to the line, kicking game. He's second to none. His dummy half play is very, very good. He's one of the best hookers we've seen in a long, long time, I think. We thought Steve Walters was the Benny Elias.
He plays like Steve Walters, but he's got an outstanding kicking game.
He does, he does. He's all of them wrapped up into one,
he
basically.
I'm
tipping Cameron Smith to get man of the match, and I think it will be a Melbourne win by about 8 points. That's what I'm looking at the moment. But,
yeah,
it should be should be a great game of footy, but if Melbourne forwards can hold Canterbury out in the forwards, then I think that the Melbourne kicking game and particularly Slater can take control.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head when you talk about the forward packs. The Canterbury forward pack have really come of age this year, and each game they seem to get better. I didn't know if they could carry their premiership form into the final series, but they have and have done well. Greg Eastwood was simply outstanding on the weekend. He didn't get the man of the match simply because James Graham and Aidan Tolman, their two look-alike props, were workaholics. They were outstanding as well. But I still probably thought Eastwood should have got that man of the match. But their whole forward pack, I mean, obviously Sam Cassiano, Frank Pritchard, he looks like a new man under Des Hasler. He's backing up, and he ain't even got in the way of Ben Barber there on Saturday night, but you'd never see him near
him for a tackle.
And, you know, Corey Payne is in career best form, and they've even got Dean Halitau potentially coming back. He's so mobile, he just adds to that that short passing game that they've got in the forwards that causes so much grief. In saying that, I've picked Melbourne all year like yourself. I've picked them for all the finals. I'm going to have to stick with them. They are just so pinpoint perfect when they're on. It is almost too clinical to watch sometimes. Yeah. They do it so well that sometimes you sort of think, oh, well, wouldn't mind seeing the Dogs or someone with a different style, like the South Sydneys, that maybe throw the ball around a bit more, be successful against Melbourne, but it just doesn't happen because when the big games come, they prepare perfectly. Craig Bellamy has them in exactly the right frame of mind, and more often than not, they turn up to play and they are too good for their opponents. I think they will win this weekend, but I think we'll finally, Pete, get that close finals game that we've so desperately wanted all final series. I mean, after a great minor premiership, which had, you know, match after match going down the wire, golden point and last-minute comebacks and ridiculous comebacks, it's been amazing, really, that we haven't seen that during this final series. And hopefully we get one that is, you know, got it all this Sunday. I actually asked Tigers MS, who couldn't be with us tonight, for his prediction on the match, and here it is now. Tigers MS, the grand final, Melbourne versus Canterbury. Who do you think will win and why?
Look, I'm going to go for the Dogs, if for no other reason than every team that's finished higher has won their games all through their NRL final series, so they've got the desired result of 1v2, and I think the Dogs will take it out. I would certainly not be surprised if Melbourne won, but I think the Dogs' movement, ball movement within their forward pack, might be a little bit too much for Storm come the back end of the game.
So there you have it. Tigers MS going against us and with the Bulldogs. So it will be a great game. Really looking forward to it Sunday night. But there are two other matches, of course, that we need to quickly look at. The Raiders playing the West Tigers in under-20s. We talk about the match quite a bit in West Tigers Live, which you can find on the website, www.paulygsports.com. I am going to stick with my heart and go for the West Tigers. It's going to be a great game. Pete, you watched the under-20s game on Saturday night there at the ground. Who are you picking to win?
I did. I saw both of the grand final qualifiers. The West Tigers were quite patchy, I thought, against the Roosters. The Roosters didn't have a real lot of ball, and every time they got down to the Tigers' end, the Tigers either let them score or the Roosters made an awful lot of ground.
Mm.
In the second game, the Raiders were clinical, big and fast. They are an awesome young team, and sorry, mate, but I think it's going to... Sorry to remind you, but I think it's going to be a repeat of 89, but not quite so close. The Raiders to win for mine.
Edric Lee versus Marika Korobetti. It's going to be a great matchup.
Great player, but very entertained by both of them.
And the halves, Mitch Cornish versus Jacob Miller. They're both captain their sides, and they're very good young players in their own right. Meanwhile, in the New South Wales Cup, the Balmain Ride Eastwood team have also made it, and they're playing the Newtown Jets. 7-8. I'm going with Balmain, again with my heart, but Daniel Mortimer leading this Newtown team. He's halfback and captain, and they've also got players of the like of Mosi Massawa, Daniel Tupou, Penny Tagavi, and Justin Carney in their lineup. Can the Jets, the Newtown Jets, get away with this victory, Pete?
Well, everyone else's heart, although they're linked to the Roosters, they've still got the old Royal Blue Jets or Blue Bags jersey on. I've seen them a few times at Henson Park in years past and really enjoyed it. It's going down, it'll be great to watch. How good on Grand Final Day to see Newtown and Balmain on Grand Final Day.
Yeah. I'll
be different. Oh, gee. I'll say Balmain will win this one.
Yeah, 12:05, the game kicks off, and then, of course, Toyota Cup at 2 p.m. It's going to be a fabulous day. Of course, we're going to do the review of the whole season. We'll talk about Grand Final Day in next week's show. So do keep sticking with www.paulygsports.com or via my Twitter account at paulygsports, because we're going to do the season review. And then there's always things with like the NFL season's underway already, the cricket season's going to start, where the website's going to keep having information. And occasionally during the off-season, we might pop up a podcast or two as well. But we're definitely here for next week. We need to do our listener question. We ran out of time last week, Pete, so we're going to sneak it in now. Rob, who's a big Panthers fan and regular listener of the show, asks where Michael Jennings is going to end up next year, in our opinion. Pete, what have you heard?
I've heard that the Parramatta Eels, like they're in the market for basically everybody because they've got nobody at the moment, I think. They're doing a bit of a clean out there, and they're after a very high quality centre. Mm-hmm. The rumour is that they're chasing two, putting their money on trying to get at least one of these two, and one of them is Israel Folau, and wow, the other one is the Michael Jennings. And apparently, Penrith I don't know whether they're trying to get rid of him, but apparently he's on an amount of around $650,000 is what I've heard, and the Panthers are really balking at paying that amount. And it appears that Penrith have got real trouble there with their salary cap and what's happened there in the past. I'm not sure who was paid and how, but with all that's happened there, with the loss of Luke Lewis, you mentioned something's going on. But, yeah, Parramatta's the big one I've heard. I'd also heard it rumoured that the Dragons were chasing him, but I haven't heard too much of that myself. What about yourself, Paul?
Well, yeah, I was going to say that that what I've heard is actually the Dragons. Now, obviously, there's a connection with Parramatta because of Ricky Stewart coming to the club. He has got the best out of Jennings at Origin level, so they are hoping that potentially that could happen. But whether the Eels will go ahead with that signing remains to be seen. Meanwhile, St. George are desperately making a play. They need penetration in their back line. They were the worst performing year attack-wise this season, and Michael Jennings would be a huge boost for them. He's, you know, obviously got a lot of ability, but he's also very strong in defence. Their outside backs need a bit of a shake-up down in St. George Illawarra territory. So at the moment, I'm hearing that the Saints are going to get Jennings. But you are right. Penrith are wanting to completely overhaul their club. They're getting rid of a lot of their players, including, obviously, Luke Lewis is already gone, the club stalwart. Jennings is on way too much money for what this current management think that he should be on. And they're just trying to find the nearest bidder there so they can offload him. It may not happen. They may be stuck with him for next year. But if anyone makes any sort of reasonable offer, you can guarantee that Penrith will be very quick to accept. They want a complete clean out at that club.
Quick question, Paulie G. You might know the answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
For example, he is on $600,000 and the Dragons offer him $500,000 for next year and he's still under contract at Penrith.
Yeah.
Penrith would have to top up that $100,000, wouldn't they, yeah, I think, even yeah, though he's not technically playing there. Is that correct?
That's correct. And look, there's a figure. I don't know what that figure is, but there will be a figure that they'll be prepared to go to get rid of him. They're that desperate to cut ties with him. So whether it be Parramatta or St. George or another club pops up, someone could get a bargain out of this. But as we spoke earlier in the show about guys like Jamal Indris and Dave Taylor, it's always a risk with these sort of players. High level of talent, but they have never performed consistently at the first grade level, let alone the the levels above of what they're getting paid for. So I can understand both sides. I can understand the teams looking for Jennings. I can also understand Penrith's point of view in saying, you know, we've spent this much money on him purely from a business perspective. We haven't got back what we've spent. We need to move on and move into a different direction.
Has anyone spoken to the Windsor Wolves about their possibly having their star recruit departing their area?
I'm not sure if that's come up. Well, mate, speaking of amusing things, it's time for World of Sport. And it's a best of what we're doing over a three-week period. You can go on our website to hear last week's show to catch Tigers MS's best of. It's your turn this week. And I think I know which direction you're going to go, but I'll let you talk about it.
No worries. I can go in two directions. One I spoke about or reported on earlier this year was the very, very surprising story to me of the former English cricketer Adam Holyoake, who had one day career, only about three or four tests, actually moving to Australia, the place of his birth, and becoming a modern fighter, this cage fighting.
Yeah, the MMA.
And he's gone on and had several fights that are reported back in May, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he's had another fight just the other day on the 1st of September, and it's what they call Cage 8, where they had a boxer versus a cage fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's knocked out his opponent, Warren Tressider, in the first round. So quite an impressive.
Well.
It's not a sport I know a lot about, I must admit. But, you know, you can't do better than knocking him out in the first round, I guess. So his career should be on the up and up. He has also reported on his website that he's a little bit sick of media talk about his financial position. The business that he established with his father is in a pretty bad position, but he is endeavouring to pay back his creditors.
Well, if he can keep winning these Combat 8 fights and the MMA fights and keep making a name for himself there, I mean, That's a pretty big business in itself. So he could have a future. We're going to have to keep you posted through 2013 with the exploits of ex-cricketer Adam Holyoake.
Yes.
Very good, Pete.
Can do.
Very good World of Sport. We'll see you back here next week for the grand final and season review. It should be a jam-packed show. And thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Yeah, my pleasure. It should be a great grand final. It's had a great day, and it's not decided by a poor video ref decision. It's had the best team win.
Yeah. Just we'll finally get that close game, and it will be controversial. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for downloading the podcast, of course, www.paulygsports.com. And you can follow me at Twitter. It's a great way to keep in touch with everything, at Paulie G Sports. We'll be back next week. Make sure that you download us for one last show and get in your listener questions. You can put them in on the comment page there at the website or just tweet me. We'll see you next week.